Hey everyone, I'm Angie Miller, and I really appreciate you joining me today on Strong Mind, Strong Body. This episode is called Why We Make Bad Decisions and How to Stop. So I'm going to deep dive into the world of decision making and explore why we sometimes make choices that are less than desirable and they lead to these less than desirable outcomes. I'm going to talk about some kind of hidden factors behind our decisions and some practical strategies for making better ones so that you can navigate life's challenges with better clarity. So Mark Twain was said to have said, good decisions come from experience and experience comes from making bad decisions. I was like, yes, Mark Twain, because I've made my share of bad decisions. So this episode was inspired by a conversation I had with a friend of mine who is actually a pastor. And she was talking about low points in people's lives. And often she said that those low points, if we think about it, are driven by decisions that didn't really go in their favor. So we got into this big discussion about self-forgiveness and this saying that my mom used to always say, which was hindsight is 20/20 vision. And that's that phenomenon of being able to see things more clearly after they've happened. So when you look back, you might see how a decision didn't serve you, but that vision is through a different lens. It's through a wider, broader lens where you have more experience and insight and where you had the benefit of seeing how it all played out and where it went wrong. So I've made some bad decisions in my life. How about you? Should we just grab a cup of coffee and talk about all the bad decisions we've made? I think we would need more than one episode. I've been in relationships that haven't served me. I've been in jobs where I chose one job over another one. And then maybe a month later, 2 months later, I pause and I think, why didn't I choose the other job? I've made bad decisions about how I interact with people, not standing my ground, or maybe stubbornly standing my ground too firmly. Once I made a bad decision in college, there's a big wink there because I made a lot of bad decisions in college, did you? But only one of them is really clean enough for me to share on this podcast. So in college, I had to take this one credit course called library. That's a true story. You take it in your freshman year and you had to understand how to use the library, AKA the Dewey Decimal System. Which, by the way, according to Google, is still in many public and private libraries, but it's said to be outdated and problematic, and I would agree. So I'm a freshman, and it's the night before the exam, and my best friend, Michelle, who's still one of my best friends, who's super smart and always prepared and can go and do crazy things at night but still gets straight A's, she sees me studying in the commons area of my freshman year of college, and she convinces me, oh, come on. You don't need to study for a library. Are you kidding me? Famous last words, because I did not pass library. Turns out I really didn't know the Dewey Decimal System. So that one fun night cost me a semester of me having to retake library and me and Dewey becoming very intimately acquainted. And I ended up with a big fat F on my report card at the end of the semester. So I often remind Michelle what a bad influence she is on me. So why do we make bad decisions? Well, I've got a handful of reasons that I think tie into it, but I want to give you a caveat here. I'm not talking about huge decisions where we hurt people. I'm not talking about serious decisions with very serious outcomes that affect others and cause harm. I'm talking about daily decisions, sometimes big decisions that we make that don't go as we expected, and how we can stop and pause so that maybe next time we can make a better decision. So number one, our emotions. Imagine our emotions playing a role in our decision-making process, especially if we are a person who really kind of functions from an emotional place. So, but let's face it, emotions are good and we should be in touch with them, but they can derail good decision-making. Think about decisions that you made when you were super angry. How did that work for you? Or when you were going through a bad breakup, or you were in the middle of a life-changing experiences, or maybe you made a decision out of fear of what you want to avoid rather than potential for what you could gain. So like maybe you pass up a job because you have imposter syndrome and you're so afraid of failure that you don't even see the opportunity to grow and learn. So our emotions can hijack rational thought and and they can influence or bias us to act out of emotion versus reason. So it's that heat of the moment thing that clouds our thinking where we don't really act rationally. We can also kind of go off of impulse. Like think about people who go to Vegas for the weekend and they think they're just going to gamble and they come away married. Well, I mean, some people that actually works. Or we went to Vegas and we got roped into a timeshare presentation, go figure, but we didn't buy. But I'm straying here. The reality is that even in human connection and partnership, we can see all the good in someone. We can see the fun. We can rationalize this person all day long because at the end of the day, most of us do have some pretty amazing qualities and we can feel the love and love how much we love to be around them. But sometimes we can overlook reasonable considerations like, hey, maybe they don't have a job or they don't manage conflict well, or they have a lot of debt and all those things that matter when we get into long-term partnership. So yes, emotion is important in decision-making as long as it's balanced by thoughtful consideration and rational thought. So because strong emotions like fear and excitement cloud judgment. So another reason, my second reason on why we make bad decisions is cognitive bias. Often our brain wants to take these mental shortcuts, just like we want to take a shortcut when we exercise or we want to take a shortcut when we're driving. And it wants to rely on mental shortcuts or biases that can lead to kind of faulty decision making. Cognitive bias is sometimes referred to as psychological bias in decision-making. And it means that it refers to this tendency for us to make choices based on subjective rather than objective information. So these biases can lead to distortions in our perception or our reasoning. And often they will arise out of influences like our social influences or our personal experiences. So recognizing and understanding our biases is pretty critical before we make decisions. So I'm going to give you some examples of what cognitive bias is. One of the ways that we make cognitive biases or we're influenced by them is something called confirmation bias, where we favor information that confirms what we presently believe, and we ignore anything that's contradictory. Think about that one for a minute. Think about how much that's coming into our political climate, where we favor what, you know, we read about what we already know, or we listen to news stations that we know are going to confirm our existing bias. Or, you know, here's an easy one. It's like growing up. I don't know if you ever grew up and you ate bologna sandwiches on white bread. I did. And now we have evidence to support that that's probably not very nutritionally sound. So we don't go back and go, well, I'm going to go ahead and eat it because that's what I did growing up. It must be good. Because now I have evidence to support that that doesn't really serve me. So again, it's like reading news articles that you know are going to align with your perspective, or, you know, maybe you want to break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you want to make this decision. So you call the friend who you know is going to be like, yes, game on, do it. So you call that friend who's going to confirm your existing bias. Another example of a cognitive bias is the framing effect, where we make decisions based on how information is presented rather than the actual information itself. So an example is like you go to the store and you decide to buy a product because it's advertised as 90% fat-free, but you don't really consider its overall nutritional value. And that's kind of what the framing effect is. It biases our decisions. Another one is like you go to the store and it's marked 50% off. So you're like, yes, it's a great deal, but you don't really consider, are you actually going to wear it? Remember my mom was famous for this one. You know, raising five girls on a limited budget. She'd go get this bargain shirt for 75% off, and she'd come home all proud and excited that she got it for 75% off. And then we being young daughters, not so nice all the time, we're like, gross, I would never wear that. And she was trying to use the whole, but I got it for 75% off. It didn't work. So another cognitive bias is called the bandwagon effect, where we follow the actions or beliefs of others due to social pressure. So maybe we buy a product because it's popular. I had a bread maker back in the day. Did you? Please don't say no. Didn't we all have a bread maker because they were popular? And now everyone has an Instapot or an air fryer. My husband had to buy an air fryer recently because he's like, well, everybody's talking about them. I don't think he's used it yet. But anyway, another one is the halo effect, where it's another confirmation bias where we allow one positive trait or aspect of a person or thing to influence our overall perception or judgment. So we might believe that someone is intelligent or trustworthy because they're physically attractive. There's actually a lot of research on the halo effect and how we buy into people based on whether or not we consider them personally attractive. And again, that's in the eye of the beholder. So that's just some examples of cognitive bias. So, you know, a couple of the reasons that we make bad decisions, again, is we follow our emotions only. We have cognitive bias. Another reason is decision fatigue. Sometimes we just make too many decisions in a short period of time, and we don't have any more mental bandwidth. And so we don't make optimal decisions. Think about it. Like, have you ever said, I don't know. I don't care where we go to dinner. I'm decisioned out. I can't make any more decisions. Because sometimes we just have to, we get on overload and we lose perspective, and we maybe have to start delegating the tiny decisions, or we have to prioritize the big decisions and let the rest kind of let other people decide that. And there's also, when you think about it, there's decision fatigue, but there's also decision paralysis. I don't know if you remember when you first got out of high school or college, and all of a sudden there's like, you know, paralysis by analysis, where there's so many options, where you can live, how you manage your finances, what job you're going to take, how you're going to start, you know, paying off your loans, how you're going to start living on your own. And so that decision paralysis, sometimes we just have to step back and go, okay, today, I'm going to make one right decision, or I'm going to make that decision right, and then tomorrow I'll make another one. So again, I'm Angie Miller, and I'm talking about how and why we make bad decisions and how we can stop. So another reason that we make bad decisions, if you will, is short-term gratification. Think about my library story. I took a night out over a semester grade. So it's when we seek immediate rewards over long-term benefits or outcomes. And ultimately, when we do that, we just don't make very good decisions. If you think in terms of patience, perspective, and consideration of long-term consequences, all that's going to keep us out of acting on impulse. It's like being a kid in middle school. And so much of what you do is driven by impulse because you really don't have that ability. Your brain isn't fully developed. You really don't think long-term at that time in your life. So a few other reasons we make bad decisions is social pressure, right? We want to conform to social norms, and that can influence our decision-making, especially when we're young, when we're in middle school and high school and college. But I see adults do it all the time. I see people go to work events, and maybe they're like, they're in dry January, but they go to a work event and everyone's drinking. So they feel that pressure that they need to drink too, because they don't want to be the boring one or whatever. So even as adults, I think we're susceptible to social pressure. And I think that's where we have to step back and remember our values and goals. Another reason we make bad decisions is that we don't learn from our mistakes. So I learned from my library mistake. I never did that again throughout my entire college career. So was it probably a good decision? Maybe. because I learned something and I would never fall into that trap again. But if we don't reflect on past decisions and mistakes, we can get into this perpetual cycle of making the same decision over and over again. So sometimes we just have to go to someone else and say, hey, I need some perspective here. And then we kind of have to adjust our approach. Another reason that we make bad decisions is a lack of information. I think we have to pause here and say, hey, you know what? Sometimes we base decisions on what we know today, but we only know what we know. So remember at the beginning when I said hindsight is 20/20 vision, we can't go back and shame ourselves and say, why didn't I do this? Or why didn't I see that coming? Because of course we didn't. Of course we didn't know what we didn't know. It's like me going back to my 20-year-old self and shaming myself for some of the situations that I got myself into. Well, I only knew what I knew when I was 20-something years old, right? So last but not least, another reason why we make bad decisions is this kind of present bias, if you will, where we don't think far off into the future because we're so caught up in the here and now. Again, my library story, but also things like, I'm going to go drown my sorrows after this breakup. And I'm not going to think about how I might have to call in sick to work and it might cost me my job or a day of income. Or another present bias is you get into an argument with somebody and you just want to be right. Doggone it, you stand your ground, you dig your heels in, and you need to be right. But you don't really think about the long-term consequences of what might this do to my relationship if I always am right here in the moment and I always have to be right. Because that gets obnoxious, right? So I'm going to review those, and then I'm going to tell you some ways that I think we can make better decisions. So one of the reasons we make bad decisions is emotional influence. Another one is cognitive bias. Another one is decision fatigue. Another reason is that short-term gratification. There's also social pressure. The fact that we sometimes just don't want to learn from our mistakes. Maybe it's lack of information, and maybe it's just present bias. We just want what we want in the moment, and we're just so caught up in that. So I want to give you a few tips on how I think we can make better decisions, but I also want to give you one more caveat. In truth, if I'm to be honest, I'm often famous for saying, I don't believe in bad decisions. I believe that you make the best decision you can, and then you make the decision right. So it's not about making the right decision. It's about making the decision right. Sometimes I've made decisions and it's like, oof, that didn't work out so well. So I'm just going to have to do some pivoting, some turning of corners, and try to make the decision right because I can't go back and shame myself and I can't undo what's already done. So it really is just about re-navigating your territory and the road that you're on and trying to fix your decision. And I think first and foremost, taking accountability for it. So one of the ways that I think we can make better decisions is to first consider that indecision is the most crippling of all. I think sometimes indecision, we get caught up in it because we are so afraid of making the wrong decision that we don't make any decision. And then we get stuck in quicksand and it drives anxiety and even more suffering. I just heard a CEO give this big speech and he said that people can adapt to change, but it's indecision that actually kind of makes people sick. It's indecision that drives anxiety and suffering. And I agree. So I think that sometimes we just have to make a leap of faith and we have to, based off of our experiences in the past, talk to good people, make a decision, and then make it right. So another way to make better decisions is just to gather information. Make sure you don't get caught up in just, I only know what I know. Do the research, read the reviews when you're purchasing something, talk to people you know who've made this decision, and then do the best you can and make it a good one. Another way to make, I think, more positive decisions is to set clear goals. What is it? What's the objective and the outcome that I'm looking for? And then weigh out all the options. And another one is kind of what I said, which is to seek feedback. And then last but not least, write it out. So I've always been an advocate of journaling, but I think if you write your thoughts to process, so you write out the pros and the cons, you write out your fears so that you give them less power, and then you kind of consider what are the possibilities to balance out those fears. Well, if I wasn't making this decision based on fear, what could be possible if I make this decision? What's potentially in my future if I do? And then if you see your thoughts on paper, you have a more objective perspective and you can kind of deliberate cost-benefit ratio. And ultimately you get clarity and confirmation about your decisions. So those are just a few of the ways that I think we can make better decisions. Just try not to get caught in indecision for too long. It's okay to pause, but 2 years, 6 years later, it might be a little much. Gather your information, set your goals, get feedback, and write it out. So I'm Angie Miller. I'm so glad you joined me for Strong Mind, Strong Body. I love hearing your feedback. Thank you for emailing me, giving me your thoughts and suggestions, and I will see you next week.